listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Pharmacy owners, stay ahead in the healthcare evolution. Tune in now to Pharmacy Tech Trends by PrimeRx on your preferred podcast platform and lead the charge in redefining the future of your pharmacy. Tune in today and be a part of the innovation wave.
Hey, welcome back to the PrimeRx Pharmacy Podcast Trends. My name is Todd Urey, founder of the Pharmacy Podcast. I love talking with pharmacy technologists and pharmacy owners. That's where I started my career in pharmacy. It is interesting of how fast it's gone. I'm celebrating my 20th year in this profession, which is just incredible. Our 15th year podcasting. Today, we're going to be diving into the critical issue facing our pharmacies. You say it's a ticking time bomb of medication and billing error possibilities. So this is episode two, and we're going to dive into how innovation at the counter is going to help us address pharmacy errors and staffing challenges in our digital age. And I'm excited to have three experts with us today in the field. Is Dr. Lisa Fast, CEO of DiversifyRx, Kaden Mehta, CEO of PrimeRx, and Mohammed Tahar, president of the New York City Pharmacists Society and owner of Amiable Pharmacy in New York. I want to welcome you all.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Todd. Hey, thanks. Great to be here with you guys.
Thank you, Todd. It's always a pleasure to be here, discuss this very important topic for the pharmacy owners and the communities that they serve.
Absolutely. And as we said, we're going to be diving into the highlights, these risks of medication and billing errors in pharmacies. Pharmacies have so much to think about. Our owners, Mohammed, you have so much going on in your pharmacy. You have your staffing issues, you have DIR fees, you have billing, you have things that are happening. Many of our listeners are familiar with the New York City Pharmacist Society. But Mohammed, I want to start with you. You're kind of, I would say, the star of the show today because you are the pharmacy owner. And just want to say, from your perspective, could you share some of your most pressing concerns with our listeners that you've expressed regarding both medication and billing errors?
Yeah, okay, thank you, Todd. As I'm you know, behind the counter pharmacist on the bench sometimes, so I am doing this on a day-to-day basis. So one of the first things that I see that it starts with a disconnect with the patients. And I think it's very important for the patients to be very well informed. And it starts, I think, with the primary care doctor, because, you know, the patient starts the day with the doctor's office and they pick up their medication from us. And it has to be, we feel that patient has to be well informed about everything. And it starts with the doctor's office. I think there's sometimes disconnect with the physicians where they're not properly informed about the medications they're taking and like the disease states they're in and why they're certain taking medications. So, you know, to me, it has to be a concerted effort by all parties. And, you know, sometimes they would just take medication without knowing what it is for. Going back to like the pharmacy operation, we try to train our staff, obviously, to not only prevent medication errors, but also like look at the potential medication errors that, you know, that commonly happens. So we want to make sure. That's why, like, myself and the other pharmacists that are there are always going to the counter and talking to the patients and, you know, collaborate with the doctors at the same time to make sure the, you know, patients getting the proper medications. Just adding to, like, the software that I use, MicroMerchant PrimeRx, they do have a lot of great features that we utilize, our technicians utilize, our pharmacists utilize, I utilize myself, so we can keep track of everything, you know, from A to Z. And what I really love about their software, it's very kind of like, you know, hard to make a mistake. Cause it's very like from processing prescriptions to like dispensing, you can literally check everything from the pill you're dispensing. Everything is traceable. So that's what I really love about this software. And again, that's so, I think, I know we'll be maybe talking about this in the future, but of course, it starts with the physician's office and ends with us. we have to collaborate with patients and make sure they're informed. But I think technology plays a big role to minimize those errors.
Thank you, Mohammed. Lisa, you have such an interesting perspective because you're helping other pharmacy owners leverage tech and avoid errors. And then you yourself are doing it. You're a pharmacy owner. So what about your background and ideas around what are the most pressing concerns that you're hearing from fellow pharmacists?
Most pharmacists aren't concerned about what most people think of as a medication error, you know, filling Atenolol instead of amoxicillin. You know, those are very functional errors that, you know, the public is worried about, but most pharmacies like have that under control. Where I think a lot of pharmacy owners are concerned about are billing errors. Because of the PBM audits and because basically we have no rights when it comes to PBM audits, that if there is ever any discrepancy, even the number of refills on a prescription, a PBM might decide to take the entire recoupment back from the pharmacy. So most pharmacy owners, I think, are very focused on billing errors. And I think it's important that there's a whole myriad of type of errors. You know, there's those what I call functional errors that are like wrong medication, wrong patient, things that are draconian, you know, where things can go really wrong. But then there's the billing errors, you know, filling a 100-gram, you know, tube of cream and putting a 7-day supply instead of the accurate 21-day supply. You know, there's those kinds of errors where there's no patient harm. There's nothing that can go wrong with the patient. It's purely on the back end. And then there's the things that are the clerical errors. Those are the type of clerical errors, you know, when maybe there's a misprint, a typo, maybe the wrong, you know, nurse practitioner was selected instead of, you know, the other nurse practitioner. And, you know, so there's all these different kinds of errors. But I think what most pharmacy owners are concerned about is, one, I don't want to make any of those draconian errors. You know, we want the right drug, right patient, right instructions. And then after that, I think where actually a lot of the attention goes is to the billing errors. And I think that's where a lot of pharmacies start to fall apart. They either do it really good or they do it really bad. And I've been there in both of those cases with my own pharmacies. And so I think it's important that you're really focusing on all errors. You're not just thinking about those ones that are the big ones, because the little ones can come back and get you too. They can either, you know, make patients angry, because it's like, hey, this had 12 refills and you put no refills or things like that. Like you can really make your patients angry, but it also can expose you to losing money in a potential PBM audit for something, you know, that's quote unquote a silly error or clerical error. So I think this is a really important topic, one that we could all get better at. I think there's room for improvement in every single pharmacy. We're all humans. We all know humans aren't perfect, but relying on technology as much as possible for helping prevent those errors and really taking it out of the human, you know, way of doing things, I think is going to be better off for everybody.
Hayden, Lisa and Mohammed are responsible for keeping their patients safe based on being a pharmacist, drug-drug interactions, allergy interactions, making sure that it's in the final check that it's the right NDC and so forth. You are a technologist. You're protecting the pharmacies and the pharmacists with the use of systems and processes and weighing in the way that you build the system. So with that extensive research and understanding, what are some of the common root causes that you've seen contribute to medication errors within the pharmacy settings?
Hey, Todd, let me just start with our purpose, our mission, right? Like if our purpose is to help pharmacies build healthier communities through cutting edge pharmacy technology, that's literally our mission statement. And, you know, I'm sure like me and my colleagues in the pharmacy management industry, when we are working through our software, this is something that's foremost in our minds. And Lisa touched on a very important diversifying subject in terms of errors, right? One is the clinical errors, which she rightly alluded to. You know, it's the, you know, drug-to-drug interactions and allergy contraindications and drug-to-disease and all that. And then there are billing errors, et cetera. And we are right in the middle of all this. Not only from a standards perspective, but from the backend settings perspective, from a data analysis perspective, because we see what happens in the data and what actually what is actually harmful for the pharmacy. So we end up creating settings, like for example, a particular PBM may not allow more than certain refills. Then we'll have those kind of settings in the at the PBM level. If there's a drug calculation that needs to be done for in a certain way to be dispensed for a particular PBM, we have even those kind of settings. So those are the kind of settings that we involve with. But then more importantly, for a pharmacy, as Tahir alluded to, they are in middle of so many things, from staffing issues, as you mentioned, DIR, the audits that happen, a patient in pain walks in and needs to be addressed to. They are in between all this and their phones are ringing off the hook. So it's very easy to get distracted. This is where we actually come in and try to have the prescription go through a set in series of workflow checks and balances so that before it's actually cashed out or sent out to the patient, we make sure that all the checks and balances are reviewed by the pharmacist. From simple things like interactions during the data entry that may have been missed by a technician just due to alert fatigue. That happens. I'm from the software industry and I generate a lot of alerts and, there are right reasons to do so. But I also understand that on the floor, when I go into a pharmacy and I stand, I see the technicians bypassing. There are certain overrides. I've seen them overriding some certain ones that should not have been overwritten just because of the pressure that's on them, right? But what we try to do is we still try to carry all those settings forward through pharmacist verification, through the right pill, right fill check, or the drug pick verification, as we call it in our software. So that way, it's not just once the alert is overwritten, it's gone. If we think that this still needs to be looked at and reviewed at, and for example, the doctor wrote a prescription for a certain strength, the market has a shortage, and then the pharmacist talks with the doctor and chooses another strength. We know that is a therapeutic equivalent, but has a difference in strength. So not only we guide and have overrides, but we actually suggest them to provide in the appropriate annotation notes so that way during an audit, they are safeguarded. We also have this mindset when we interact with vendors. We interact with vendors like Epris Health, Logicoi, that allow you to look at control data for patients, which is for medications done outside of their pharmacy. So this is health check and compliance. We do specialized programs with specific PBMs like Health First is the one that comes in mind. It's a very big one in New York, and they chose us to have a direct MTM and a kind of alert messaging directly from the PBM into the pharmacy management system. So these are all the things that actually help within the pharmacy workflow, and it allows the pharmacies to basically just reduce those dispensing errors and minimize all those kind of interactions, right? So that's where we are sitting in all day long.
Lisa, high-performing pharmacies expect their technology to deliver accuracy and efficiency for the operations, which is so important. So share with us and our listeners, how critical is that to your own pharmacy's operations and then the members that you're supporting throughout DiversifyRx?
Leveraging technology is huge. I'm personally a technology file. Like, I love technology. And as much as I talk about pharmacists and really everybody in the pharmacy world working at the top of their license, you need to push down as many menial tasks to your technology as possible, because whether you have adequate staffing, you're overstaffed or understaffed, if your people are wasting time on menial tasks that they should be spending more focus, we've got to start remembering that not every task is as important as every other task. Mm-hmm. There is a priority that needs to happen when it comes to tasks. So have your technology do as many of those tasks as possible. That's one of the reasons why I love, autofilling systems and those kinds of things where you can really set up the parameters in the software or texting. I know PrimeRx does amazing texting and those kinds of things. It's like, let the technology do what the technology can do. That way it frees up the time for the humans. And, Keaton said something very important, that warning fatigue, the little bells and whistles that go off all the time. And if you set your systems to warn you about everything, then it's really warning you about nothing, because again, it's about that priority. So I think it's really important that you be thoughtful about your computer system. And also remember that the way you set it up a year ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago may not be the best way to set it up now. You should really annually look at your technology and try to figure out, are you using it to the best of its ability? Is there something that needs to be changed? I know in my own pharmacy, when I bought one of my pharmacies, I own two pharmacies right now, I went and I just did an observation day. And I noticed the technicians kept touching the computer all the time. They were touching the keyboard and they weren't even looking at anything. They were just touching it. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and they're like, oh, well, there's this pop-up and we have to make it go away. And so you have to touch it. I'm like, what is it about? Like, do we even need this? And so I went and I talked to the pharmacist and I was like, is this important at all? Because even though I'm a pharmacist by education, you know, I'm not licensed in the state where I own my pharmacies. And so, you know, I have to defer to the pharmacist. He's like, no, that's not important at all. And I was like, okay, let's sit down and let's redo these warnings. And because obviously it just did not work anymore. And so therefore it was wasting time as opposed to being helpful. And your technology should be helpful. And there's just amazing things. I bet most people, no matter what system you use, are probably only using maybe 10 or 15% of the ability of your technology. And it probably has a whole bunch more things that you can leverage it for that you're not using. So I think it's good just to get refreshed what your technology can do, what are your humans doing, and what can you offload to technology? And I think that will help us all be more accurate and efficient in the long run.
Great. And if I can just add on, Lisa, to that, right? The two things that you mentioned in terms of the configurations of the alert, most of the vendors will cooperate and they will be like, oh, you want to turn this off? Yes, you can turn this off. So you are absolutely correct in taking a look at that particular configuration. Also, because this practice evolves consistently and changes, and there are so many new standards and new laws, and a state may change one law versus another, we, at least at PrimeRx, we have literally a university where pharmacists can log in and attend a webinar that is once a week. Then we record it and make it available to them. We have a dedicated training team available where they can field all those questions and they can say, hey, we want to see, our pharmacy was set up this way, our goal was this way, but now our volume has changed, or now we have this one particular drug that we need to be more focused on. What is it that we can do? We consistently have solutions to this and call it ongoing continuing education for pharmacists from a technology perspective as well.
Mohammed, as an owner as well, kind of expanding upon what Lisa was sharing, how does that accuracy and efficiency impact your operations based on how you're using your pharmacy technology? How is technology impacting your operations?
Tremendously. I'll just touch upon some key features that I find very helpful with Micro Merchant. You know, it's, you know, what Keaton said, right? Like he said, sometimes he sees that technicians are overriding drug-drug interactions, but they also have a feature where you have to, as a pharmacist, you have to put initials to override those drug interactions. So that's a great feature. You know, I love to use at all, you know, my other pharmacists love to use. So it's a great mechanism to prevent any error or, you know, anything harmful to the patients. And like, you know, I'll use also, there's a program that I have, I signed up with Health First. It's one of the biggest insurance in the country. It's a program called Hyphen. So it's a collaborative program with Micro Merchant, Health First, Hyphen, and they select pharmacies that fill high volume of Health First Medicare patients. And as now, it's a great feature because we're doing things on a regular basis too. Like, you know, we often get notice from the PBMs, insurance, like, hey, convert this to patients in 90 days, or, you know, talk to the doctor about, you know, stopping this medication. So one of the great things that Micro Merchant Hyphen has done right now, they have a dashboard, and with all the patients that are eligible for additional counseling, or even as simple as, hey, this patient has an OTC card, can you counsel them on how to properly use it, and any potential like any medication that could be like not suitable for their age or condition, things like that. We get all those alerts now right on our computer software as we're filling the prescription, and it's great because, you know, sometimes we're filling prescription or counseling them, but we may tend to overlook something missing, but now it's right there on your dashboard. So what I have done, while my other pharmacists say they're filling prescription, I'll go straight to the dashboard and I look at every patient, what are the potential problems and what are the, you know, not just the problems, but what are the extra benefits they're eligible for. And I, you know, I have that conversation with them and they appreciate that. And then I think, you know, that's something, a great value that we provide to our patients. And that's something that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Keaton, you're the only exclusive vendor that is working with Hyphen and Health First. So it's a great, and all the other pharmacy owners that I've spoken to, they, you know, it's, they love it. Yes, incentive is great, but at the end, you're also having to pay, talk to the patients more. And it goes back to what I said, you know, we need to be more proactive to inform the patient about everything else. Immunization, you know, we do in New York City, we do mass immunization. Obviously, with the COVID time came around, it was pharmacists were very proactive in immunizing patients. So from their software, it gets directly gets reported to the local Department of Health for record keeping. MedSync, that's something all PBMs emphasize on, and you know, helps your pharmacy star rating as well. And of course, it helps the you know, study shows that it helps patients stay out of the ER as long as they're compliant with their medications. And some of the other features that I have also that I really use on you know, a daily basis is refill queue. You know, patients will request refills, and then you know, we have the ability to put it in the queue, so that way in the morning we come in while say one pharmacist is working on the prescriptions that are new, and the technician might be just processing the refill. So that also helps us a lot with the great workflow. Then they have an incident report that we can directly, you know, fill out if necessary from right from our computer. Then a few other things. Let's just stop for a moment. Let me just look at my notes. Delivery dashboard. We can keep track of where our deliveries guys are. So when the patients call them, we can let them know, hey, he's only 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, things like that. So everything, those, you know, may sound like something very simple, but when you're, you know, doing a high volume of prescriptions, you're having to interact with the doctors, patients who are there right now. And all those features really, really help us kind of like keep things in order.
Yeah. Todd, if I may just add on to that. And I know that we have spoken, me and Lisa have spoken about this multiple times also. Pharmacists go to school to be coached as pharmacists, mm-hmm. you know, as caregivers, and they are used to taking care of the patients. When they come into the world of business and setting up pharmacies and the compliance and all this, this is where we actually come in. So all the features, like we call it features, and he's right. Maybe it's just... like, oh, a delivery dashboard, oh, where's my driver? And it just saves like, oh, 1 minute on the phone call. They can look at it as features. What we are giving back to them through technology is time. Time so that way they can once again focus back on their patients, you know, do what they are being school, like what they were being educated for. You know, it's very easy for them to do a touch point. Hey, tell the patient about the OTC card or something like that. Mm-hmm. All these things happen after the fact. The patient has come into the pharmacy and gone. Now they have a MTM. So now they have to carve out time to basically even do the MTM, right? But by integrating a PBM within the pharmacy software, as you mentioned, we were the only exclusive ones because it required a lot of work and effort to understand what needs to happen, bring it appropriately in the pharmacy workflow and trigger in the notifications where necessary. Even stuff like that, yes, it brings incentives to the pharmacy immediately, but the touch point is when the patient is in the pharmacy. So, you know, counsel the patient on this, do the MTM now, you know, tell them out they have OTC. Oh yeah, I have OTC card. Instead of me using my credit card, let me use the OTC card. These are just suggestions that allow the patient to have a more better touch point with their pharmacist. You know that they are being cared for, and what we are trying to do through technology is simply give them back time, whether it is for one feature or another, but that's our main motive all the time.
If I can add a couple more things, Todd.
Yep.
Just adding to what Keaton was saying. So one of the things, you know, this is something we've been talking about for like years now. We want to slowly move towards more service-based profession. And that's what, going back to what Keaton said, like, yes, we went to school and we want to use technology to give us relief so we can spend more time with the patients. And not just on counseling, but my pharmacy, we're doing, we're a member of CPSM. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. We do provide a lot of clinical service. So recently, my pharmacy got contracted with a particular insurance plan where they will send us the patient list and we have to do exclusive counseling on it. And it could be as simple as, you know, just call the patient, make sure they're taking their antidepressant medication properly. And they will, they'll incentivize you, you know, greatly. And something very simple. And within less than a month, MicroMerchant was able to incorporate that into the software where we have to write e-care plans. We have to write clinical notes, e-care plans, and we have to upload it. And they were able to do that in less than a month. And, you know, I'm able to do that now on a daily basis. And it's a, you know, great feature that is helping me. So we want to spend more time with the patient. That's all. I think all pharmacists want that. And I think, unfortunately, with the PBM regulations and the all the other stuff we are stressed out with, kind of minimize our chance to do that. But yeah, you have to invest in technology. That's the only way. And what I like about and my staff, it's very user friendly. Like, you want to be able to, even if you delegate, empower your technicians to a certain way, you want to make sure it's also a user friendly for them to use, so they can, you know, get the task done, which will allow the pharmacist to focus more on the clinical work.
Mohammed, that is a great segue into the second portion of what we really wanted to dive into with two pharmacy owners and a technologist who's been part of this pharmacy industry for quite some time. In 2022, and this is from Axios, which is one of my favorite online magazines, in 2022, there were 13,323 graduates from four-year pharmacy programs. That is now down from the previous year at 14,223, which would have been 2021. And it's the largest drop since 1983. And this is per AACP data. And there's been widely publicized all over the news, staff walkouts in recent months that have really called attention to the need for workflow, work group, employee support, and what is happening with our pharmacists and our technicians. And that is a concern of Lisa and Mohammed as pharmacy owners, as well as our listeners who are pharmacy owners. And there's been all of this discussion behind how the big boxes are different than independents, but there's still staffing issues. It's trickling down into our independent community pharmacies as well. So I want to start with Lisa. How could, you know, share with us your perspective on how staffing issues vary between these types of pharmacies and then the impact on you as well?
Yeah, I think the problems at the chains are certainly a pharmacist issue. I think a lot of those conditions don't exist in independent pharmacy. Not to say that every independent pharmacy is perfect, but I think a lot of those things that are causing those chain pharmacists to walk out just don't exist in the independent world. So I think those, you know, chains having poor conditions is terrible. And I also think it creates an opportunity for independents to attract those kinds of employees that are looking for better. So I think chains having poor working conditions can actually help boost independent pharmacy in terms of attracting those licensed individuals. Where I think independent pharmacies do suffer from is just in general, lots of other entry-level jobs are now making maybe not very good money in the sense of they're not making six figures, but making relatively very good money for very much easier, low stress jobs. And so a lot of pharmacies used to get their cashiers, their clerks, their delivery drivers, even their technicians from entry-level workers. And when you can go to a gas station and make $25 an hour that, you know, you have no risk of, you know, killing somebody by making a mistake, and yet your pharmacy is offering $16 an hour, which job are you going to apply for as an entry-level person? And so I think that's where the big pool for pharmacies is happening, is in those lower-level positions, those entry-level positions, because that job pool has just become very, very competitive. Whereas pharmacists, you know, a lot of pharmacists have walked away from their chain jobs and will gladly take a job at an independent where they actually have staff and the patients don't don't yell at them, and they don't have to meet all of these crazy performance criteria, you know, on a daily basis. And so I think finding pharmacists now has become the quote, you know, easier puzzle to fill in your pharmacy, whereas your entry level positions are now becoming harder and harder. And obviously this depends on your local economy, but here in Texas, you know, we have Buc-ee's, and Buc-ee's is, you know, a wonderful gas station that lots of people love, but they pay their employees very well, not just in hourly rates, but in vacation, in benefits, 401ks, insurance, you know, same with the local Starbucks or even some of the local McDonald's franchises. And so attracting those high performing, but yet lower level or non-licensed people is becoming very hard for pharmacies. And they're finding out they're having to raise the hourly rate, which then, you know, puts that pressure because of the cash flow issues, because of the PBMs and the reimbursements and the DIR fees. And so it all flows together to create kind of this very messy situation in pharmacies. And so what we've done in our pharmacies is we have raised up the unlicensed or the quote unquote entry level positions or new technician positions. We've raised their rates, and we did that one to keep the employees that we wanted to keep, because it's, if you like them and they like you, like, let's just keep them happy, but also went to attract those employees, to attract those employees away from those other type of employers to fill open vacancies when we've had them. And so it really creates a unique dynamic that pharmacy owners are frankly just not accustomed to. I don't think we've lived in this kind of hiring world where, you know, pharmacists are walking away from jobs and are available, but yet you can't find a cashier to save your life. So it's definitely just created unique things. And it's also different across states, cities, counties, and all those kinds of things. So there isn't one magic answer for everybody. And I think that's really makes it hard whenever you're talking to your friends and colleagues out there. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, well, their answer may not work for you. So it definitely creates a problem. And that leads again to the concern of errors. And that's why I love leveraging technology, whether it's automation, like filling, you know, pill counting and those kinds of things, to whether it's automation for phone calls, texting, helping you run your sync prescriptions without having a human to do it. Because technology doesn't call in sick, as I like to say. So sometimes if you can have a lot of your tasks, having technology do that, it provides just that little bit more flexibility you need on the human side of things because of just all of this crazy situations that we're in.
Mohammed, you're not only a pharmacy owner, but you oversee New York City's Pharmacist Society. Talk to us about the challenges in how the workforce issues are impacting you and the society.
So, Todd, let me just go back to add something to it. I think one of the things that came out of the whole COVID pandemic was it kind of like shifted the power back to the common workers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, what, and there's a lot of people, you know, even chain pharmacies, say technicians, they see that like, oh, I have an option now. I can, similar to what Lisa said, I can make the same amount of money by working somewhere else. Even it could be just, you know, independent pharmacy shifting from like a chain to independent pharmacy, or I could be a freelancer and I can make money. Yep. You know, so there's a lot of, I think, opportunities have opened up, and I think they just became a little more, like I said, powerful in a way where they can make the demands. And yes, it has caused, especially during the pandemic, we had some issues with work shortage. And then, you know, now we're also having similar issues. But me personally, as an independent pharmacy owner, and I'm sure many of my colleagues will do the same thing, and also what Lisa said, we make sure that is not an issue. And we always have adequate staff to make sure all the tasks are getting completed. Even hiring somebody, say, part-time during the peak hours to make sure like we are managing everybody's like stress level at a certain level, so they're not overwhelmed, because those things can lead to errors. And as I was growing my business, and I think it's very important to make sure you have adequate staffing. So I did a survey. I did a survey with my own staff, my managers, and you know, many of them expressed that we need more staffing on, you know, certain departments. And I went out and I hire new people, whether it's full-time, part-time, whatever it may be. But I think that's very important as because, you know, we serve the community and like it's the patients that come to us, what are the reason, you know, we're there today and we're able to also provide for our family. So we want to make sure we keep this patients happy and also, you know, in addition to their healthcare outcome. So that's not something I believe the chain pharmacies have traditionally done. I think it's been mostly, you know, business model, whereas we, you know, we go in a great length to make sure we're making a relationship with the patients and, you know, in a community pharmacy, we don't just talk about their, you know, medications. We sometimes they open up about their personal issues. And, you know, me being I work in a very underserved neighborhood. You know, they sometimes even patients will help need with, say, filling out paperwork, an application or insurance renewal. And my staffs will do that for them, you know, and this is something. And one of the things the way I try to keep my staff happy is just, you know, I let them know, yes, I'm an owner, but I'm also a pharmacist. So I understand the issues. So when I'm working, I'm part of the team. So you and we're always going to have an open dialogue policy. And when you're going to tell me when if there's an issue work related, we're always going to address it. And I think that's something my fellow pharmacy owners, independent pharmacy owners do that all across because we realize it's not just, you know, a business model of healthcare, but, you know, your patients are your family and you have to make sure you are doing your part to taking care of your patients and your staff.
Thank you for that.
And I think, the problem has been mostly in the chain pharmacies. And I just want to add, like, you know, one of my part-time pharmacists, she was working at a chain pharmacy and she would have to do 400 prescriptions and 60 vaccines all alone with the one technician. And she chose the independent route. And because we made it a lot easier for her to still fill the prescription and give the vaccines and among other tasks. But again, providing adequate staff is very important.
Thank you for that. Keaton, you said at the beginning about your company's philosophy and your overarching mission, which is, you know, that's important. It's important when working with any technology company that you're in this. You and I are in pharmacy. We're going to probably die in pharmacy. It's just the way it goes. So you're listening to these two pharmacy owners. You hear all of your clients, all of your customers going through this. And based on what they've said in managing these staffing challenges, what can you share with listeners with regards to the quality and care of operational efficiency that can be helped to be maintained based on what Lisa said, which is leveraging technology?
I love the entrepreneurial spirit of an independent pharmacist owner, right? Or independent pharmacy owner's entrepreneurial spirit. I just love that. There are many facets that lead to this. You know, the staffing challenges and everything, this is just a part of the industry. Sometimes one industry has it, sometimes another industry has it. But the fact that they come up with creative ways to keep the staff and keep on providing these patients this additional care that they require is fascinating. From our end, what we try to do is we really try to keep it simple. We focus on keeping the program simple. I have had so many instances where I have had pharmacies from maybe one competitor or another sometimes switch over as like, hey, this technician thinks that your software is simple and she doesn't like one thing versus another. So can you show me a demo? And then we have shown the demo and they're like, oh, you can fill a prescription in how many seconds or how many minutes? And then you can do your checks this way. So the workflow is so simple that most of the staff really learns the pharmacy system in a matter of just minutes, right? Like they'll go in, they'll just follow proper steps. They'll go through our training videos. As I said, we have a training team and we have an online portal where they can look at this pharmacy 101s, POS 101s, get themselves acquainted with the pharmacy system. And then when they are on the floor, there's a feel of familiarity with it, right? So keeping it simple, keeping it as much automated as possible. You know, there were a point in time, you know, decades ago when there were prescriptions that were handwritten and required a lot of manual entry and touch points from our pharmacies. Now, majority of the prescriptions are electronic. So it just allows us to move into an automation. Like, why should the pharmacist spend time in entering patient data, demographics, prescriber demographics? Why should they spend time entering the data when I have all the electronic points created, right? So we just make it extremely simple. You know, Lisa mentioned about the fact that we do text messaging, and we also obviously integrate with IVR companies out there. So there is outbound messaging that's happening from the system. So a pharmacist or a technician simply goes through a workflow step, and in certain minutes, it basically sends a message to the patient, hey, your prescription is ready. So now the technician does not have to pick up the phone and call the patient to do all that. So when we reduce the stress level of the work in pharmacy and keep this system automated and simple, technicians and the staff usually like that, which is why then they'll choose one pharmacy over another, sometimes just based on the technology. So that's what we do from our part to keep it simple.
Thank you for that. That's important. And what I also want to mention, and interesting to hear from Lisa and Mohammed and Kaden, you as well, but there, we know that with all of the strife that's happening, and we're getting legislators paying attention to state by state what's happening in pharmacy and how that's impacting public health. We know that there's legislation in places like California, for example, that's pushing for higher standards in pharmacy operations. So Lisa, how do you see solutions like PrimeRx and technology playing a role in holding compliance and providing better staffing and better well-being for our employees?
I think the technology is critical. I think too many times pharmacy owners are reluctant to upgrade or modernize their technology because it costs money. And right now, especially right now, money is at a very high premium. But what they don't realize is having old and outdated technology is costing you. It's costing you money. It's making you less efficient. It's making you use more human hours of work. It's making tasks take longer. And they don't see that as being like a bill that they have to pay. So therefore they kind of don't count that cost, but it is a hugely significant cost. Like I said, when I buy pharmacies, I buy existing pharmacies. And so we inherit all of their, you know, good and bad. And usually the bad is the technology. And even though it costs money to upgrade that, all of a sudden our employees are like, wow, it doesn't seem busy today. And it's like, we did the same amount of prescriptions, but it's easy. And that's why people always ask, like, how can I get my employees to do these other tasks? Because one of the things I always talk about is bonusing employees and having them do revenue generating tasks. And they always say, like, how do you have the time? Well, because we upgrade the technology, you know, whether it's adding an IVR system or leveraging a modernized pharmacy management system. So many times they stick with the same one that they were using 15 years ago. And it just, doesn't mean you have to completely redo your technology all the time, but either upgrade what you're using in that technology, or maybe it really truly is outdated and it is now time to go to something new. But and that's just because I do leverage technology. We leverage technology in every feasible way possible. Therefore, our humans have more time, whether it's for patient care, you know, point of care testing, vaccines, talking and consulting about weight loss, or if it's revenue generating things like finding therapy optimization or going out and talking to doctors or, you know, going to an event on a weekend or something like that. And so you have to be able to give your employees more time and make the tasks that can be technology driven. You have to really invest in that. And it is an investment. You should get a return on that investment. But please, if you're listening to this and you're a pharmacy owner, don't discount how much money you are wasting in wasted time, wasted effort, repeatable tasks, things that just take longer than they should. Even old computers, you know, old computers with old memory and old processing, all of a sudden you install your exact same system on a new computer and it's like 10 times faster. And you're like, wow, I didn't realize how much time we were wasting. And so I really encourage you to look at your technology and see how it's holding you back, because your technology should be springing you forward. It should be making your pharmacy operate easier and more efficient so you can do all those other things, whether it's clinical services, marketing, or revenue generation. It should be allowing your humans to be able to do that within your pharmacy.
Thank you for that, and makes a lot of sense. Mohammed, and listening to what Lisa shared, what can you add as well as a pharmacy owner and understanding how technology, how PrimeRx is playing a role in compliance and your staff well-being?
So one of the things that I always tell my staff, like, you know, I would like for you to challenge yourself to do better. You know, I really don't want to, like, you know, if there's a need for a certain task, I really don't want to look for outside help. So it is up to you to take a challenge upon yourself to learn, and you'll be incentivized for that. And that's something I think I've been doing for the past few years also, because there's been challenges with the staffing. And I so far I've been very lucky to be able to, like, retain most of my staff for the past few years. So I think, you know, it's empowering staff is also very important. You know, like, like I said, I'm starting to do a lot more clinical work in my pharmacy. And, you know, with that, you also have to train your staff to do better. And, you know, when they're able to start do certain functions, certain tasks, and, you know, get extra incentives, that's also motivation for them to stick around. As far as, like, the standards and the compliance, of course, it's very important. You know, like, you know, I think we are one of the most over-regulated profession in the country, right? You know, in New York City state alone, there are probably like 8 different agencies monitoring us on a daily basis. So it's very important. And micro merchant, I think, does play a lot significant role. And I'll just use a couple of examples, like the daily control file submission. You know, they do that on our behalf, and it's gets reported to the Bureau of Narcotics. If there's for any error or any margin, we get response right away, and, you know, we have to fix that within 72 hours. And you know, we get an email notification, so it allows us to act really quickly and you know, minimize any potential error. And, you know, the way they have their whole software you know, set up, anytime there's an audit, we can access the prescription, you know, signature log, and, you know, a few other things. They even have I'm not sure what it is called, but you can maintain your daily inventory, and you can check for to see if there's a discrepancy, you know, the amount of drug you build and how much you have stocked or you ordered. You can keep track of that. So I think those are very important features that they have that I have not had in the past. And it helps us, stay with the within the guidelines of all the PBMs and, you know, healthcare agencies and whatnot.
Wow, this time together went fast. And for our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today to this podcast. Very important issue in helping other pharmacy owners think outside the box, think of other things, and get together, talk to each other, talk to other pharmacy owners. If you went to a conference and you've made connections, the very first person I think of is Dr. Adam Robinson in health. Open he is in helping other pharmacy owners. Kaden and Lisa and Mohammed, I want to thank you for sharing your insights. A shout out to our pharmacist and technician listeners. You are the champions that are doing the work out there, keeping our public safe and in serving pharmacy care. I just want to say thank you to PrimeRx and the team. Go to primerx.io. There's so many resources there. There are case studies for you to go through to make you think of different things that are happening in your operation and leveraging those case studies and reflecting back on your pharmacy operation. I want to thank you for participating in this interview, in this discussion. And in closing, Kaiten, do you have anything to wrap us up with?
I think the bottom line is that medication errors are preventable. I believe technology shouldn't replace pharmacists. It should empower them. And by embracing innovative software, we can create a safer, more efficient, and ultimately a more rewarding experience for both the pharmacies and patients. And, you know, it's never about just the bottom line. It's about building trust and ensuring the well-being of the communities that they serve. And at PrimeRx, we are dedicated to being a partner in that mission every step of the way. That's the only thing I would add.
Very good. Thank you for listening to PrimeRx Pharmacy Podcast Trends. We can't wait till the next episode. Please share this podcast with a fellow pharmacy owner. And Lisa, thank you so much for participating.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.